ladies and gentlemen, Wampas and Tauntauns. My name is Jared, and with me, the Iron Fist himself, Lord Ian.
Hola, that's me.
It's a terrible Vader voice.
Well,
we will be your hosts for the episode. We are honored and grateful that you have joined us at our table. Today, we're at the feature table taking a look at Star Wars Battle of Hoth, designed by Richard Borg and Adrian Martineau, artwork created by Ben Carey, Christophe Duhaz, Tony Foti, and Clement Masson, and published by Days of Wonder.
Star Wars Battle of Hoth is a reimplementation of Memoir 44 and Commands and Colors system. Players recreate different battles throughout Episode 5's like iconic Battle of Hoth.
Yes.
And one player is the Rebel Army and the other is the Galactic Empire. The player who collects the most medals, there's a set of medals per match, and those medals that are determined before the game starts, if you get all of the medals, or if there's a special win condition, then you win. And then that's it, and you are crowned the glory of the universe and empire, because only the empire wins.
Brutal.
So let's review Star Wars Battle of Hoth. The Imperials is the way of life.
It is a way of life.
And as the...
Okay. Well, that's open to interpretation and perspective. Ian, how old were you when you saw Empire Strikes Back?
Empire Strikes Back. I don't know. I mean, I was probably 6 or 7, okay. Probably.
I was curious, like, yeah, if like you were that family that like had to show their kids super early what Star Wars
or
if they were like, no, let's wait until they can actually understand what's going on.
I mean, we watched a lot of Star Wars. It might have been 6 or 7. It might have been a little later,
okay.
But yeah, somewhere around there. But it was not my family necessarily. I mean, it was my family, but it wasn't my parents. My cousin, obviously the prequels. I think I might have seen the prequels first because they were coming out. Like, obviously, around they were early, the earliest available. but we saw those, and he was all into Star Wars, so he got us into Star Wars.
Gotcha.
And so it would have been somewhere around there that I watched it.
Okay. Yeah, I want to say I was definitely in that 7 to 8 range when I saw Empire. It was incredible.
Yeah.
You know, as a kid, I feel like you don't really appreciate all the nuance that goes into Empire and what makes it probably the best Star Wars movie out there.
Yeah.
But even then, like, the opening scene of Hoth was just so cool. And you had all these different units that were being introduced that you really didn't get into in Episode 4. And it just kind of, it really put into perspective the desperation of the Rebels because of them being on this freezing snow planet. And so now having a chance to recreate and create, I guess, because most of these battles don't see them on screen. You know, it's one of those things where you're either going to have to play Star Wars Battlefront, a video game or something like that, or now this, to really dig into the nitty gritty of each individual battle within this over encompassing war on Hoth. So it's very neat. And there's lots of things that you can go into in this game for different battle scenarios for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing about Star Wars that you don't get as much of is, like, obviously this long movie, which is great, but you have to advance the story, so you're not sitting there, like, dwelling in this fight that I can imagine that happened, especially on the Battle of Hoth. But, you know, there's other areas that the Rebels and the Imperials collided, and you don't get to see that, and so you only get to see that in shows or in other, you know, if you get to play games that do that. And again, I guess you go ahead and clarify here. So this is Star Wars Battle of Hoth by Days of Wonder. And so the thought process is that there will be more and different battles.
We're going
along
straight
this
to
line.
It. We're not even going to talk about the game before we start speculating.
Well, no. Yeah. But I think it's clear, like, obviously, this is just one battle of all of Star Wars universe that we're looking at. And there are so many. And I hope that there are more games along with this game, but that allow you to play different battles, because we don't get to see that in the movies as much. You're missing that aspect of it, which I really love the show Andor, because Andor kind of dives into the nitty gritty of behind the scenes of what's going on, especially pre, you know, episode four. But then in even pre Rogue One, you get all this history in Andor, and it's, yeah, I love it so much. So you get so much detail, and those are things that, you know, we want to imagine or create in our own heads, or create by playing a game. Those are the things you get to do here, which is really cool.
Agreed. All right. Well, since we're already on the cusp of jumping straight to the end of our episode by talking about it here at the beginning.
Oh, I was, you know, I've got more to
say. You're just so excited. I get it. It's all good.
It's Star Wars. It's Star Wars.
For sure. No, I was also excited when they announced this, and you started blowing up my phone about it. And I was like, okay, I can get behind this idea. No, because like,
I did do that.
I think there is a market for this. I mean, obviously, all the different Battlefront video games shows that there's people that are interested in getting to experience the actual battles in Star Wars. Whereas in the movies, you're more following the main characters, and that's fine. Like that's great. But there is this other piece, and now we can kind of play that out a little bit. But Ian, let's talk about how to play, and then we'll talk about it.
Let's do it.
In this game, it is a recreation of Memoir 44, like we talked about, and it is essentially a PvP battler where there are 17, technically 18, but you do need two copies to be able to play the 18th scenario. Which we'll get into later on. But there are 17 different scenarios that will tell you how to set up the board as one side takes on the Empire, the other one takes on the Rebels. You have different pieces that you lay on the board. It will be either infantry, or in the case of the Rebels, it could be air speeders, or it could be turrets, which they don't move, obviously, but they are very powerful. And then on the other side is the Empire has their infantry. They also have probe droids. And then last but not least, of course, we have the very famous, very powerful, very frustrating AT-ATs. And so those are the different kind of pieces that you can have on the board. You lay those out in their starting positions, as well as different terrain that affects the board state. And you have different tiles that have that for different parts of the board. Play goes back and forth until a scenario objective has been completed. Or if it's just a normal game, then it's the first side to a certain amount of medals. And as you destroy a group, so if Ian kills all three of my infantry, he'll take the last infantryman and put it in his little medal area. And once he has a certain amount, then he wins the game. Sometimes there are different scenarios, which instead of just killing people, one side has to do something. So that can change the win conditions of that. But game turns generally work the same way as you go throughout the game, where you have a certain number of command cards that you're going to use to operate the field. And the board is broken up into three sections of left, center, and right. On your turn, you're going to play a card. Typically speaking, the card is going to either have one of those sections highlighted, or two maybe, or it's just going to let you command which units you want to command. Once you activate a certain zone, it'll tell you how many units in that zone you can activate. You go ahead and decide which units you're going to order. From there, each unit type has a certain amount of movement that they can move, and then you move each of your ordered units. Then you attack with those same units. If you did not order a unit, it doesn't matter if they moved or not, because you didn't order them, so they can't attack. Only the ones that you ordered get to do both the move and attack action. So once you've done that, then basically that's your turn. You draw a new card up, then it passes to the other player. It's quick, it's fast. Players take turns doing this back and forth until a win condition is met, and then the game is over. Usually with Ian losing, but that's okay.
Ah,
down with the Empire.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that, but yeah.
There are some specific rules, like they do have a line of sight. They do have terrain that affects things in different ways, whether it removes dice, because whenever you attack, you always roll dice, and you have to hit certain sides of the dice for it to actually be a hit. And there's a few things like that, but that's a general overview of how to play, just to give you an idea as we discuss here. So with that, let's get back to discussing Star Wars Battle of Hoth.
Yeah, so I mean, how much Memoir 44 have you played in your life?
I played very little. Like, I think you and I have played
Commands and Colors.
No,
I guess.
You and I did not play. I played with somebody else, but it was years ago, and I thought it was cool. But for whatever reason, it never really made it to my table a lot. So I didn't buy into all the stuff like you did. And it just, I don't know. It wasn't a game that ever stuck around at my table. But I know that for you, it's a very different story.
Yeah. So I own like most of it. I own a lot of things.
I was going to say that's a lot. Like it's very
multiple copies. Yeah. Multiple copies of the base game. Yeah, I've got a good amount of MMR 44, so that's where I'm going to pull a lot of my experience here on the system.
Yep.
Which, I mean, if you've listened to this podcast, you know that I do like MMR 44, and I only have good things to say about it. So there's that. On top of that, there's an aspect, I haven't played the Commands and Colors necessarily, or I think there's a battle lore. There's been a lot of uses of this system, and it's a great system, that's why. And so when they said that this game was going to, when it was announced that they were going to use that system for this, I was ecstatic because it's just a good system. I love it so much.
Sure.
And the main draw for me is that it's just simple, but it also has a lot of complexity and strategy that you can, use. You can't just run and gun. You can't just walk out and move your troops into the wide open. It's very tactical in the way that a battlefield is, and that's the whole point of it all, is that it is, you know, from a bird's eye view, you have to manage your troops like a commander would.
But that is, like, I think the draw for most people, once you get past the fact that it has Star Wars slapped on it, is that the game has a lot of that tactical feel in a 30 to 40 minute game. And that, to me, you don't get that a lot. You usually end up sacrificing something to get into that play time, and it doesn't always have that feel. And don't get me wrong, this isn't like a Axis and Allies or a Twilight Imperium level of depth, but there's a lot to think about, and there is a lot of different strategy. And he is correct. You cannot just waltz somebody out there, because while you might get one good shot off, they will get mowed down by everything.
Yeah, you have to be very strategic in your movements and consistent, and you have to build a strategic path. But, you know, there's some things that you can't control, like dice rolls, but everything else is, you have to be very methodical in the way that you're moving.
Right.
And you have to build a plan, especially in Memoir. I'll talk about the differences at the very end. But overall, like, this is a super fast paced game. Both are. It wants you to be moving, it wants you to be attacking, because that's the whole point. This game is it's got a great system behind it. So I don't want to keep talking about the system, because we could talk about the actual game now. But the system is fantastic.
I think it's important, and I do want to get your opinion on this versus Memoir, because I think that's helpful for people like you who have invested a ton into Memoir 44 already, and now they're like, well, I really like Star Wars, so am I really starting all over again? Like, what are we doing here? Maybe you and I talk about what we like and don't like a little bit about Star Wars, but Battle of Hoth, and then let's do a little bit of comparison, because I do think that that is valid.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I'll talk briefly about a point here. We'll go kind of back and forth, I think.
Yeah.
And so this game, it feels like Star Wars. It feels like Star Wars on a map. Like, what I really love is that the Rebels and the Imperials each have a set of units that are different.
Yep.
And so they do different things in the way they move. I mean, infantry, like, they move the same, but the Rebels only have 3 troops per squad, where the Imperials only have 4, or they have 4, not only. Yep. And so that improvement is huge. But it makes sense, because the Rebels didn't have as many people as the Imperials. Now, could the Imperials shoot at anything, hit the broadside of a barn? No, but but anyway, I love the fact that each side feels unique to itself. It has this nice balance. It's very balanced, but they play a little different in the way the troops do. You know, do certain things. They're better. Like, the turrets and the snow speeders are really good at up close and personal. What, they only have a range of 2,
So they have a range of two, but they're very fast.
Really fast, but they're like, it's just, it's a nice addition there, where the AT-ATs have roll a ton of dice no matter where they're at, and they have a range of three, which is really nice, but they only move one, so it's like you gotta get them there. And so that's, and then the probe droids are kind of like, they're just probe droids, honestly. They're just fine.
But like, there's a trade-off to that, because while they feel almost useless to you, they are useless to me because they don't give me any points. And so as a rebel player, I'm like, I'm wasting turns shooting this because I don't want it to shoot me, but I'm not gaining anything from this other than getting off the board. So I do think it has a value. It's just very different.
Yeah. And I think that's so cool. I think that adds to the whole thing, is that each side is different. It has its own troops that are unique, and just a slight difference. It's not crazy, but enough to make it feel different on that side, and that you have to play your game a little different. And I think that's really, really nice. And that means that you can just switch sides, and that you can play the same mission, but switch sides. And you could always do that in all of that's why this system's so good, is you would do that a lot. You would play a game, switch sides, play it again. But what this has is that you have a whole other, like, alongside being on one side of the battlefield, which is different, now your troops are also very different. And so there's a lot to think about if you were to switch sides.
That's true. I mean, you and I, for years, whenever we play Star Wars, like, you usually always take the Empire and I take the Rebels. And we saw little desire to want to flip sides. But I do think there are differences that it would freshen up some things just a little bit. To have a turn in the AT-AT to feel like I can just walk across the map and you can't do anything about it. Like, I would love that. Instead of feeling like I'm this fragile, everything on the board is fragile. Like, that's how it feels as a rebel, but it feels like that in every game. So I think I've gotten used to it.
Right.
But I don't know. I'm with you. I like the differences. I do like how hard it is to take down an AT-AT, and I'm only ever going to say that when I'm not playing the game, because it is so annoying when you're actually playing against it and you're trying so hard to take this thing down.
It's true. It's true.
I have a new empathy for the struggle, for sure.
Yeah. It's pretty bad. I mean, it's pretty bad.
It's tough, man. But I think it's part of it. Like, I don't think I'm complaining about it at all. Again, I will get frustrated in the moment. I will say, I also in a way feel like it does feel like you're playing Star Wars once you start adding in all the extra pieces. Because the first few scenarios is basically just infantry, maybe a probe droid, and that one feels a little more limiting. But it is also a good way to get into it. Like, Anna and I took it back to the hotel after buying it at Gen Con that night, and we're up and running within 5 minutes because of how simple it is to get into it. And I think that's one of my favorite mechanics, is the simplicity and the ease of flow that this game has when you're just going back and forth. The understanding of, okay, I play a card, I do the thing, I can focus all of my attention on my strategy and the tactics that I'm going to implement, instead of, well, how does this mechanic work again? Well, how does this work? And for what you get out of it to feel like you're actually doing a battle, it that is so crucial, in my opinion, because you want to be able to focus on your strategy and be able to focus on that and not focus on, well, how does this mechanic work again to make it work with what I'm doing? So for me, that's a huge draw.
It adds this ease of entry with the rules, but also to be clear here, the board is smaller than a memoir board or commands. It's a smaller board, so it's a little tighter, but it also makes it easier to set up. Like you said, like, you can get rolling so quickly. And then obviously this box, everything's in the box. It's we'll see what down the road they go, but I don't know how much you'll be combining boxes a ton. So this is like all in one, like it's in there and you have the pieces you need. And there's not like 150 pieces in here. There's enough to do the battles. And that's really it here. And so you just have a lot of variety, even with those limited components that are really in there, because of the amount of scenario. They give you so many scenarios. It's a lot. That's more than any that I've ever seen for even in like a memoir, like one booklet didn't have that many. There was a lot. And then you have a campaign inside this that we'll touch on as well. But I think the aspect of that variability to flip sides, obviously, and then the amount of scenarios here, and they're easy to set up no matter what. Really, even like when we started setting up the more complex ones, it wasn't like anything crazy. Like there was just a couple extra like badges and like stuff like that. You have to throw down some tokens, a couple more troops, but like nothing, and you know, absorbent. Like it was not that crazy to set up. It added maybe an extra minute, you know, whatever. But it was a good amount of setup and ease of play and easy to just get ready. Shuffle your deck, go.
Yeah, for sure. And I think too, man, like it is tough. So I wanted to ask you, in Memoir, are your expansions standalone more, or are they more adding to the base game? Because I can already tell if this hits, they're going to do more of these. But you can't really combine a space battle like at the end of episode 4 with Battle of Hoth. You can't do Endor with Battle of Hoth. And I don't know that you're going to want to add an expansion for Battle of Hoth, because it's kind of, it does what it's doing. So with Memoir, yeah, how does that work?
So in Memoir, you have a core box that had about twice as many pieces and tiles and like all that than the base of Battle of Hoth. And so on top of that, you had a double-sided board with like woods or grass. And then the other side was beach, like D-Day or whatever. But so you already had two sides of the board, and then you had tiles that replicate, you know, that match for both sides. And it was just like, there was like so many more tiles and so many more pieces. Like I said, there's about 20, there's about double the amount of troops in a Memoir box than in this, and tiles, like maybe three times the amount of tiles. It's a lot. But the scenarios, I actually think there might've been less, because they've really like nailed those down. We want 8 really good scenarios, and then people make their own online, whatever. But, so as far as that goes, the expansions basically brought in, you know, different armies, and so you would add them to the boards that you already had. They also added a snowboard and a desert board for those expansions. So they added just a board to play with those ones, but there's not a single standalone expansion from my understanding, not that I've seen. Everything builds on the core box. There's the core box, and then, you know, all of the other things are troop packs, map packs, you know, all the other stuff. So it's a different way to do it, because the system they're building now, I mean, it's the same system, but the sell point here is not the same. They're building a box that is standalone, and they're going to build another standalone potentially, unless they flip it at some point. This the way they're pitching this is not the same as those systems, because that one, it's a core box, and then everything builds out from that. And that's not what this is looking like at all. This is its own thing, and we'll do another expansion. It's its own thing. It's all its own thing.
Right.
So,
yeah, like what do you do with that? Because I don't know. This is all speculation, because we don't know what they're going to do, but it just feels like you're going to have a bunch of individual battles with a bunch of scenarios in them. Don't get me wrong. But then if Endor comes out, I'm going to want to just shuffle off Hoth for the new one. Like, I'm not going to want, why would I want to keep both? You know, because we've got our fill.
Yeah.
You'd have gotten your fill of Hoth at that point. So I don't know. It's going to be very interesting to see, because I just don't see a ton of expansion potential for this game. And maybe they don't want that. Maybe Disney's too difficult to work with, that it's not worth it. But I think this is definitely a testing the waters to see if they can pull off multiple standalones within one system.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% there. The way they're going about this process and their first release is making it incredibly difficult to proceed with any expansions upon that box. Like a tiny mini expansion, but there's nothing that's there that it's not enough to go on and, you know, like it has a ton of scenarios, so you're not adding more. And you already have a good amount of troops. Like there's no other troops that I would add to Battle of Hoth. And so you would want to add a new battlefield, which is, that's what they do. They do Battle of Endor or wherever. But yeah, like you're saying, there's just not a lot of expansion opportunity here because it's basically becoming its own game again. And maybe it is licensing. That's the they don't want to dive into that hole of trying to do all those things. I mean, because there are plenty of Star Wars games that are about battles and collecting different troops. And I mean, there's like two or three games like that. So maybe they don't want to dive into that world necessarily, but
we'll see. Okay. Well, we'll get off the speculation train for a little bit. Is there anything about the game that you don't like? That just Hoth right here. We'll throw the speculation out the window. This sure. box before in a minute, I'm going to ask you if you have a preference on one or the other, memoir or okay. Star Wars, but for now with just Hoth, what is there something you don't like?
Yeah. I mean, how the dice always roll X for us a lot. I'm not sure what's going on there.
I don't know if that's a game issue or not, but yeah.
There is one X on these dice, 1 in 6 chance, and I'm rolling them 100% of the time. I'm not understanding what's going on there. So whatever.
it was rough. That one game was particularly bad.
Yeah. So I would say anything that I don't love, it's challenging because I really like the shortened board and the opportunities that it does. But it also makes it like everything's in range at like at all times. There's no hiding, which is what they want to do, I guess. But
no, it is. They want you to get into the fight.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, I need like a turn or two to kind of reset and not get shot up. And that's impossible here. It's impossible. It'll never happen. And so I guess we didn't talk about, so each player has their own deck, which has a hero in it. And I like the aspect again of that deck, but then also it's like, if I see a card that moves everybody on the left, well, I'm not going to see that card again until I shuffle my deck again. So it's not in there. Where, you know, and so sometimes, and that's good. I mean, there's not that many cards, but it's also like, okay, you know, it would have been nice to be able to, if I could have saved up two of those instead, and you will never be able to do that here. So it's a little stuff like that. I think overall, though, it's a solid design, and it's like, the reason I like it is also a reason I'm like, I don't know how I feel about it, but I think they're good. They're good design choices. For this game,
I think this is one of those things where the good and bad of simplicity is going to show up, because I remember us being all excited about what role the leaders would play in this game. And essentially each side has three leaders. You pick a leader and that just adds a few cards to your deck to kind of give it some variability. I wanted more from that, whether it's either more cards or it changes the deck more, or it gives you some kind of an ability to really feel like Luke Skywalker is on the map right now and he's going up against Vader. Like I wanted more than what I got. And I also feel like, I don't know, I've played all three of the Rebel heroes, and Leia and Han both felt very situational in the way that their cards worked. Whereas Luke, I was like, these cards are great. And I want to use these cards. And maybe that's just my play style, and it very well could be. But for me, I always like was gravitating back to Luke. And I was like, okay, there's some scenarios here where I think Leia might be better, I guess. It's fine. Everyone's going to have their own hero preference. I just wish there was more to it than just a couple of cards. It feels just like a tacked on thing. And it makes me feel like, okay, I mean, I guess Luke Skywalker's in the game. But then sometimes like I'd be focusing so much on my strategy that I wouldn't even realize it was one of the Luke Skywalker cards, and I'm just playing cards. So I don't even remember that he's in there. So that was a bit of a bummer for me. But and then, of course, like this isn't an issue I have, but it is something you need to be aware of. You're drawing cards. You're rolling dice. There is a real chance that you get screwed based off the stacking of your deck and the fact that some people just can't roll dice. And if that's a problem for you, don't buy the game, because that's part of how this simplicity works, is it's very much centered around you're going to roll dice and follow the results. And sometimes you're just not going to draw the cards that you want, and it's going to end up feeling devastating. If that bothers you, I get it. It doesn't really bother me. It's just part of the game, especially because of how quick it flows, that it's not a huge deal, but it is definitely there.
Yeah, I mean, I think the obviously dice rolls, it's part of a game. They can get quite frustrating when you're rolling for like 20 minutes and nobody ever gets a hit. But I would say, you know, you have to be wary if that's something that bothers you. I think, and again, with both of these, you know, all of this system, there is a design process that goes into being able to limit and negate the fact of bad draws and some bad dice rolls. And that's where, you know, being good at the game is part of it, because you can kind of negate some of that with how you move and how you play. I did think with the leaders, like you said, and maybe that's part of that deck, is just like it's kind of small, and you know, the overall the heroes, like there's only three cards per leader hero, and it's just not a lot, because you like see it, like obviously there's three out of like maybe 25 cards, so you're seeing it every couple draws, maybe, and so
I don't know if the deck's that big.
Is it not that? I don't even know. 20 cards, 15, I'll look it somewhere around. And so you're just not drawing. I know I felt like I was drawing it maybe like every four or five, and I'm looking for a specific one. I will agree with you, though, here is that. So Darth Vader and then Luke are kind of the two big leaders, and they are both of their, a lot of their cards are very like, do like move, like, so Vader like moves a lot of things, where I think it's Veers and then somebody else. They are very situational as well, like Han and Leia. And I think that's intentional. I think in general, like you, like Luke or Vader are like kind of just easy go-tos. They're very strong. Yeah. Where the other ones, you know, you might not want to use all the time, but I think it was intentional that they did a very specific thing. Like, you know, Veers like moves the AT-ATs and uses them really well. And so I think that's a nice thing to have, where the other one is, it basically, you from your Star Destroyer, you can do damage, which is not a Star Destroyer in the game, but the card indicating that like you're having a barrage,
sure,
from above. And so I think that's really cool. And so that those cards, that makes sense. But like, you don't always want that. Like, that's not something you always want. And so that's why I think those are a little bit more, like you're saying, situational, where like Vader and sure, Luke, I think, are going to be like, we want to add these because of their usefulness at all times, instead of very specific usefulness.
There are 16 cards in the base deck, and then you add three more. So you're at a less 19. Than 20 card deck once you're done.
Yeah. So you're drawn.
I mean, but again, like you're only playing one card per turn. So you're not really clipping through the deck. I don't think I've ever had to shuffle. Like, I think I've gotten close a couple times, but I can't remember a time that I had to shuffle. Okay.
I played a couple recons, and so that always you draw two and discard one. So you get you through the deck a little faster.
Okay. So, Ian, tell me about the difference between, which would you prefer, Memoir 44 or this? And I know it's a little bit unfair because you already devoted like hundreds of dollars to Memoir. And you devoted 60 to this. So like if we're talking, if I'm a fresh kid off the street and I look at both of these, which one am I going for?
Well, I don't know if that's fair either, but so the real difference to me is that in Memoir 44, the board is bigger, and so and then it's a shared deck, and there's not really any uniqueness there like in Star Wars Battle of Hoth. On top of that, the troops are very similar, like your infantry, they have tanks and then artillery. They do the same exact thing. Everybody's equal on that side. And so really what it comes down to is who plays a better game with their card play and their strategic elements of moving and timely card play. And so that's how you beat the opponent. And so those are important aspects in Memoir. Also, you know, obviously each army starts as the more expansions get added, like you started adding a lot more new things, new abilities. And that was really neat. And that's where you do get your variety in the actual sides of each side. And so they added like a Tiger tank, which is very similar to the AT-AT, is that it requires multiple hits and then another sequential roll of another hit of a, like a grenade or a blast. And so it makes it really hard to destroy them. And so that was in Memoir 44. Those are all, everything that I've seen in Battle of Hoth, I have played with, no matter all of the special troops, all of the different types of terrain. The only difference was like the weird thing with the troops, but generally I'd seen it all before. And so I like the aspect that it was easy for me to get into for Battle of Hoth. Like, oh yeah, I've played this. This is good. But then the difference is that the board is much smaller and the cards are different. You're not playing the shared deck. And so it plays very, very different in that regard. I think both have a space and I own both and I'm going to keep both for now. But the fact is in a Memoir, you can actually plan out a decent strategy on how you want to progress on the battlefield. In Battle of Hoth, the deck is so small, and you only have, now, yes, you have a similar cards, and there are, there's no technical duplicates, but like you have move everything in the left, right, and center, and then two in the left, right, center, and then there's cards on and off, but there's no doubling up, and so it's hard to predict what you're going to draw. Not that you can do that in Memoir, but like you can try and save some cards in Memoir to build up this assault on one side or the other. It's a little bit more challenging to do that in this. I felt handcuffed multiple times because I would play like, my hand size is only four and I played the two cards from my right side and that's it. That's all I got. Everything else is over here. And so there are ways to mitigate that. I could have, you know, maybe play the other ones early and try to build up a bigger hand, but you don't have time in this. You don't have time in Battle of Hoth to do those things because the board's so small. I can't sit there and wait to move forward. I'm already getting shot at on turn one. So it's just very, very different. It's very fast paced. And I think that the main difference is that this is really just wants you to just go into the battle and fight it out. There are strategic elements and things you can control, but not as much as in Memoir. And I guess that's a long-winded answer to say that I prefer Memoir mainly because of that aspect, is that you can really methodically build out your plan. But on top of that, I mean, it's kind of unfair, but Memoir does go up to 8 players, where this is only going up to 4 currently in a large-scale battle. I don't know how they would, maybe we'll talk about that here in a minute, but like a large scale battle doesn't seem feasible right now, especially with how many components they put in the box. Like you can't even you'd have to buy 4 of these to even put a quality army out on the board. And so maybe they have a plan. Maybe they want it to be really small. I'm having a troublesome time thinking through like an 8 player map. Maybe a 6 is feasible with a couple copies of this, but it's just not the same as far as that goes, because I do like my large scale Memoir 44 games. I think those are really where I have the most fun, more than any of the 2-player stuff. So I have kind of a skewed view when it comes to this, but I hate to say all that because I think this is really fun and it's very fast paced and always moving. But that's how I would answer this question between the two, is that they are very different. They play different and it's hard to compare them truly, because they're not even the same board or card play, and so just the units are similar.
So I'm going to offer Anna's perspective, because I think it's a good counter to this answer. I think it's a good answer for a lot of gamers. I have tried for years to find a game that Anna will play 1v1 with me that's either a direct battler or something in the vein of like what a TCG does, where you're battling it out to get to zero, or a Battlefield battler where you battle it out 1v1 to get to zero, or whatever it may be. And I've had so little success in that. And truthfully, like, I didn't even buy Battle of Hoth with Anna in mind. Like, I bought Battle of Hoth because you and I had the idea that we're going to combine it and make it a 4-player game. And that's why I wanted a copy. But Anna was interested in giving it a shot. We went back to the hotel and tried it. We played like 4 games in less than 2 hours, and she and I kept talking about it on the way home, and she was like, you know, I really enjoy this, and I usually don't enjoy PvP battlers, so I think that has value. And I she mentioned it is back to the accessibility of how quick it plays, how easy it is to play a turn, how even though someone might not be great at strategy, all the different terrains are very easy to know. There is a very good reference sheet to be able to quickly reference, okay, this one does this, and I can and can't do this and this when I'm on that space. And then, you know, it's very straightforward as far as your chuck and dice. And so if you are looking for something like that on the simple end, I do think Battle of Hoth has that space. And that's what Ian's talking about, where there's a space for both of these on the shelf if you want it. And I think that is something to consider for Days of Wonder as they consider other standalone boxes, as we've been speculating. Because I do think once we get into, like, if they decide to do a space battle, you might build a box that has more pieces in it that can go up to A with two copies. Because that, I think, has the potential to be more of an epic, whereas it would be really hard to build an epic on Hoth just because it's basically a blank white space and you're not really flying all over the place like you would in a space battle. So I think there's potential there for them to keep using and recycling some Memoir 44 things, because I think it's an easy treasure chest to pull from. And so I can see that. But again, if you are looking for something simpler, that is the opposite perspective. And I think it does have value for that.
Absolutely. No, I think that's definitely something that gives it an edge. And as far as learning, I mean, core box to core box, and there's nothing too crazy here. I do think it's easier to set up and get into for this than Memoir. So I agree. You know, Memoir has a little bit more setup, but overall simplicity, it's basically the same. I think this is an easier to get out of the box, I think, because there's just like a couple extra minutes of setup for a Memoir game compared to this. And I think that's really helpful. No, I think that's good insight. And those are things that you're looking for in a two-player game, is something, how quickly can I get it to the table? I think all of those are valid points. As somebody that has played both, I think I prefer a little bit more of a strategic game, but I won't say no to this whatsoever.
I am curious, because part of what I like about this game is it forces you into action very quickly, and I think that's part of what helps the game go quicker. When you have the ability to kind of slow walk it, does it make it take each session longer?
Like, because you're having to set up and stuff, is that what you're saying?
Not really set up, but like, you're talking about how I can kind of slow walk it a little bit. I'm not really pushed into the fight right away, and I can kind of set myself up. Does that add more play time?
So I think like an average game that we played of Battle of Hoth was probably 30 minutes. I would say an average game, you know, 30 to 45. Let's do a range, 30 to 45 for Battle of Hoth. I think an average game for Memoir 44 would be 45 to 60. So it's adding 10 to 15 minutes per game, potentially. Unless you're starting your entry level games, then I mean, you could definitely knock out your game in 30 minutes. Like, that's, but as you get into these deeper scenarios, I would say that, yes, you're adding that complexity. That's, you're looking at 45 to 60 minutes.
But that's the same thing with Battle of Hoth. Like, we're talking about 30 to 45, and you're playing a 20 to 30 minute game on the quicker scenarios at the beginning of the book. And then as it gets more complicated and you get more pieces out there, then you're adding on that little bit extra time. So that makes sense.
No, I think that difference, yeah, it's adding about 10 to 15 minutes. But I think overall, it depends on what you want to do with that time. And you can probably play an extra game of Battle of Hoth and compared to a Memoir by like the same amount of time chunk. If you did 2 hours, you could get at least an extra game of Battle of Hoth in compared to the Memoir game, because you have to set up and tear down and restart. And also a game might be slightly longer. So I'd say it adds 10 to 15 minutes per game. And that's, you know, it depends on how you play. If you're both comfortable playing, then things change. But yeah, I would say that. And I do think it's important to note that relatively the price point is similar for both core boxes. And you get a lot more in Memoir as far as pieces. So there's a lot more pieces on the board. And so that is part of it as well, is like there's more to manage in a Memoir game. And where in Battle of Hoth, I didn't feel like I was overwhelmed with the amount of pieces. But like, if I got shot down a couple times, then I'm like, oh, well, it's over, I'm gone. Where in Memoir, like, if you lose an early battle that you initiated, it's not over in Memoir. You have other resources along the board that you can use. In Battle of Hoth, that's not the same. And again, it's the type of game that it's trying to show It's not like that. So there's just a little bit more grace for mistake in Memoir. There's not as much in this. And so that's another thing that I would say is you don't have that bounce back as well in this, because as an example, in one of the games we played, you know, I got wrecked three squads down in like the first 2 minutes. And I was kind of just hiding, trying to get enough cards to create this path. It was never going to work. In Memoir, that doesn't happen. Like, you just have a lot more pieces on the board so that you can either move something from one side of the battlefield to the other. You just have opportunities to you know, clear a mistake. Doesn't happen in this game, in my opinion, unless I'm just bad at it. But I feel like I'm an okay Memoir 44 player. I've played so much of it. I feel like I could hang in this game, and that I was trying to do that and it didn't work. So.
No, I get it. And I mean, it is one of those things. I remember a similar game. You took out my air speeders early and I was like, I'm cooked. There's just nothing I can do here. And it's just what it is. But I mean, it goes back to the quicker gameplay. Like, who cares? You know, let's finish it up. See if I can get lucky. And if not, we're going to reset and do it again. So it is a different vibe for sure. But with that, Ian, do you have any final thoughts? Are we grading this thing? How are we doing here?
I guess we should touch on, before we fully grade, the four-player and campaign aspects of this as well that we haven't really played. But
yeah, so the four-player thing that we've been referencing, you have to buy two copies of the game. The backside of the board is built in such a way where you can bring the two boards together, and there are a few tweaks in the rules so that you're playing 2v2. And it's still the same concept, but I mean, I think it does add to the game because you have twice as many pieces on the board and you're negotiating with another player. You're deciding which cards to play together and that sort of thing. So I'm always a big fan of team games, so I'm always down to do something like that. But it does require either a friend having another copy or you buying two copies, and then that's a whole different price point, and I'm not sure it's worth that. But that's I'll let you decide on that. And then do you want to touch on the campaign?
Yeah, I think so. The campaign that comes with two basically large campaigns, and you play through one scenario at a time, and then whoever wins or loses a battle will help you go on to the next, you know, the mission. This campaign system has been used before in Memoir, but also other things. And so you gain resources or cards. In this scenario, they have specific like combat cards that you can use, which are fantastic. I have played with similar cards in Memoir. Those cards are absolutely awesome. So I love the fact that they added that to this small box. I think that's really cool. You're adding a lot of different features to a game that is kind of light. And so it adds a lot of variety in that box. The campaign, you know, I would love to go through one at some point. But obviously the cards are really, really cool. Those like combat cards that you can gain through, you know, triggering certain things or completing certain objectives, you get those cards and then you automatically have this one-time effect that you can pull on them, and they're not really prepared for it. They don't know what card you have. They just know you have a card of this type, and they're really strong. They do specific things that can really flip a battlefield. And those are things that like you really want to see in a game like this is cards that by themselves aren't necessarily like OP, but it's timely play that really helps a card exceed really the expectations of the actual card itself. And so you can flip a battlefield, you can flip you know, the center of the board or something like that. Those are certain things that these cards will do. And in the campaign, I feel like you're getting that a little bit more than just a regular game. And so that is diving into something that you see a lot in Memoir, is you have specific cards that really can flip a board. And so I really like the fact that they added those cards. Like the fact that you can do that in this campaign and go through it. I mean, it's a lot of scenarios. I don't even know how many it is. It's a lot. And so to go through a whole campaign together and kind of get the story of Star Wars along with it is really neat. And that's not something that I'd seen. They have campaigns. And these other games, but it doesn't seem like initially there's already like this already large two separate campaigns that you can go through. I think that's a really, really nice add and something that the others didn't see, especially early on. And so if they're going to build this system through the campaigns, I think that's a really good way to make it unique, is that you're not going to get that in these other systems.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see what they do. There are a lot of missions in within the campaign. So that I agree with you. I'd love to go through it sometime. And I'm curious what that would look like. But the cards are really the draw, right? Like that, it just really gives you a chance to try out some new things. And again, I agree with you. The timing is going to be what really flips the battlefield on those. Because you can do those and it not be the right timing, and it's going to feel very lackluster. Like it's not going to hit the way you want it to. But I do think that there's a place once you hit that right that it's gonna sing so well, and that's exciting. So we'll see. I am very curious. It's been a long time since I've speculated about where a game is gonna go for future iterations of it. But I really do think they've got to have ideas in the hopper for this. It really feels like they're gonna be standalone, but I don't know. We'll see. Like, I mean, I've been wrong before, but we'll just have to see. So,
yeah, I mean, I think I guess if we're both gonna guess, I mean, Battle of Endor is probably next.
Yeah, we'll see how this one goes. Endor would make sense because you can bring in the AT-ST, speeder bikes, things like that, and have a lot of new vehicles. And it's completely different terrain, so you can have a totally different thing going on. But if that hits, then you go with the more epic space battle thing. I think that's the way you go. But what do I know?
Yeah, so. I think an aspect of using, I think the space concept is what you're really pitching. I think is a really neat idea and would make itself very unique to anything else, because there's not anything really like that. And taking it to this, you know, you could name it, you know, Star Wars, you know, whatever, epic or something like that. That might be the flip of where, okay, now we made a bigger board, or now we did something different. So I think those are all possible ways. I think Endor is definitely like that's just, you know, easy, an easy first expansion here.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm curious of how many players they'll get to as far as a big box, or were they going to keep the four player format at the max? I prefer more than that, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, my guess would be that they're going to stop at six, because that makes it just a little bit more simple. And I mean, of the target audience that's going for this, how many people are going to get eight people together, you know? So I don't know. I think part of it kind of depends on the success of the first few boxes, but we'll see how it goes.
All right. So, Jared, what do you rate this game?
I'm torn, man. I think for me, this game's like a 7.5. Like it's fun. It's quick. It does a lot of things that I want. I love that Anna loves it, and we now have a PvP battler. Love all that, but it's not one. Like once I'm done with it, I'm done with it. If that makes sense. Like it's not one that I'm thinking about either later that night or the next morning. It's not one that I'm like constantly being like, oh, what if I'd done this or what I'd done that. Like it's just a good game, and maybe that's great. Like maybe that's all it needs to be, because of the simplicity of it. And it's a fun thing to pull out, whether it's with two or four or whatever. And then you move on to the next one. So for me, it sits in that 7.5 range.
Huh. Yeah. I think I'm going to agree with you, because reading through the expansion, the campaign, and understanding what it is in the cards, I think I would really enjoy the campaign. And so I guess it's unfair for me to truly grade it without playing that, but that's where we're at right now. So, but I think that's an aspect. If it was just the base game, I'd probably say like a 7, but I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt here, is that I know Days of Wonder does an excellent design. And so I love Days of Wonder. I always love Days of Wonder, and I still think they do great games. And so I know they really have probably balance that campaign and all the extra missions towards the end. Like, we didn't even get into some, like, the last missions of the box. So I think there's room for some neat things to happen in there. And so I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt there. I'm going to say 7.5 as well. But it's not blowing my mind. And I think it is unfair because I have this whole other system that I spent a bunch of money on that I like a little bit better. But this is Star Wars, so it is different and it has its own thing. And I think that's what's really going to bump it for a lot of people is it's Star Wars. Star Wars is awesome. And I love Star Wars. And I love the fact that it does feel like Star Wars. It feels like you're playing Star Wars on a board. And you get the aspects of each side, the Rebels, the Imperials. You're getting all of those things all just entangled into this quick battle. And so with all of that, you create this system and you're using a system and then combining your own tweak to that system to create this really just fantastic experience that's quick and easy to play and easy to get into. Overall, Battle of Hoth, I think 7.5 fits it really well for me, but I could see people really loving this game and taking it to a whole other level. And I'm really excited for what this game has to offer down the road.
Awesome. All right, man. Well, that all sounds good. So I hope that we have given all of you listeners some thoughts to consider, because I know there's a lot of debate. On the one hand, it's Star Wars and it's accessible, but if I'm a memoir player, I want a little bit more. And so hopefully this gives you a little bit more insight on which way you want to go. Thank you all so much for listening and for taking the time to check this episode out. If you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on the game, we would love to hear from you. Links to our socials are in the description. If you don't like socials, I get it. Check out our website at thegametablepodcast.com. Shoot us an email at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com or find us on BoardGameGeek. All the links are in the description. 5-star reviews, subscribing your podcast player of choice, subscribing on YouTube, commenting, liking, following us on socials, if that's your thing, joining the conversation on Discord. All these heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Special thanks to Ashley McCaffrey for our cover art, to Anna Snyder, who made the intro and outro music, and to Alexi Chistolin for the How to Play background music. Again, like I mentioned last episode, if you would like a sticker, shoot me an email. I'll be happy to mail one to you. Join us next week as we head... Oh, where are we going? Next week in August is going to be the kids' table. So come back for that next week. In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever. And in this game, you will need your dice rolls and your card draws to be blessed, because holy smokes, it can be brutal sometimes.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
See you guys.